You are listening to a production of the Toll Network, home of biting analysis. This is Laser Knees, Episode 9. Nobody says that, Amu.
I'm Aleph, the thesis-seeking critic. Do I read?
I am Amit, the heart-snacking critic. Do I pink?
I'm Sono, the fired-up critic. Do I green?
Putting heroes on trial. Critical Squadron. Do I ranger?
Join us as we start on our wild ride through Dobutsu Sentai Zyuojir. Can Yamato lead his human friends through an adventure to save the human world from the Death Galleon? Find out how we think he's doing as we share our thoughts on Dobutsu Sentai Zyuojir, Episode 11, Animal Assembly. Our episode writer is Komura Junko. Our episode director is Shibasaki Takayuki.
All right, let's get started with our animal instincts. What were your overall thoughts about this episode and its message, if applicable?
Overall, I felt it was a pretty solid episode. Punched home the emotions in all the right places, had sweet slow-mo group walk, introduced a new plot element and a new robot, wrapped up this whole gift thing. Everyone just kind of felt top of their game. I'm not sure about an overall message, but I think it may kind of lean more towards a more cut and dry, kind of pure version of Ghost's recent go with your gut message. Hard decisions will come, and in your heart you're going to know what you need to do, and you should just follow that. Maybe. I don't know. that's what I got.
That's fair. This episode was good. It felt like a turning point in the show overall, and I like how it was structured. The search for the sixth champion symbol ends, the Juman choose to stick with Yamato, and they access Wild Jiro King, enabling them to defeat the greatest Death Galleon challenge to them yet. All the while, we get this Birdman thrown into the mix to challenge assumptions and create conflict, and it makes Julin feel a lot more dynamic and real to me.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is kind of the hook for me right there, and one that makes me so happy that this series is airing alongside Kamen Rider Ghost, because in the middle of all of this yearning for home, we have someone coming in and saying that maybe, just maybe, home wasn't so all-fired great to begin with. I mean, sure, it's Kaixa saying it, but this idea that you have to ask questions about the things you love is great for reasons that I'm sure no one here present can relate to. And then they marry that to a thing about how it's noble to sacrifice for people, but you ultimately have to let them make their own choices. Just baller as heck that. Zyuojir still doesn't feel like it's going to be one of the all-time greats, but at least it's showing that it's going to be a scrapper, which is all I ask out of anything.
Okay, let's go ahead and move into Hackles Up and talk about our problems and nitpicks with this episode.
My worries about Narya still stand. She did actually get to have, like, one thought and emotion for herself in this episode, being interested in Yamato, you know, being willing to fight Gift all on his own. But everything else with her was pretty par for the course.
Which is a bummer.
But, I mean, she got that one, and that's progress, so
well,
I have
hey,
to
look,
give...
That's one more emotion than any of the rest of them have.
True. But I mean, like, aside from that and having to look at Zio Gorilla again, I mean, I've really got nothing overall. It was a pretty solid plot episode.
Okay. For me, I missed the boat on the champion symbols having, or the one champion symbol having been stolen. I know it went missing, but I thought that was more because of the gate cube being blown up. Or I should say link cube, I guess, if I'm going to be pedantic. How did Yamato pass through then? His was the sixth, and then a different one went missing in the explosion, I guess? So anyway, that was weird. Tusk's mention of the thief really threw me, or, you know, Birdman being the thief.
That is something that came up in the beginning, that one of them was stolen.
Oh,
I know
so
they had
I
the flashback
that.
To it.
Yeah, it's... I'm not... Tusk in this episode claimed it was years ago, and I'm not really sure about that. I think it's... I need to kind of rewatch the early episodes to kind of refresh on that. But no, he was, you know, saying that one of them was stolen, and that's why they originally thought that Yamato stole it, and were so hostile to him in the beginning, like when they first met him. Because they thought he took it.
I mean, thank goodness this is not Drive, where the timeline was even more convoluted, but like, this is just a little blip here, and it seems like probably the actual timeline is years ago when Yamato was a kid, Zhuo Eagle or whoever Birdman is stole the cube to cut the connection, and then when they saw Yamato come back, they naturally assumed, oh, this must be the thief, and for some reason, he's returning.
Maybe yeah,
to get his butt kicked or something, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, it's some... something like that, but it is something that came up right away in the beginning.
Yeah, it's just, I guess I just totally, it slipped from my mind since then, so I don't know if that's me being a bad viewer or the show doing a bad job, but, you know, it's a problem for me. Okay, so then next question, why does Birdman have the chainsword? That doesn't really make sense to me. Like, Larry didn't have anything.
I was sort of guessing it's the power that's associated with being an eagle champion. That was sort of my guess.
But
I don't know, maybe he made it when he was bored. Made himself another one.
His cube hasn't been unlocked or unsealed mean that he doesn't have the heart of a champion like the others, perhaps?
Oh, maybe.
Sorry, that's speculation for later. Next thing, I thought Gift was a little too soft on them after it charged up, because, like, before it had charged up, which was in a different episode, so I could see the weak space between watching and stuff throwing off someone's sense of this. It was just like wrecking stuff nonstop. And then when they were running around trying to fight it, it wasn't being as deadly, which, you know, I'm glad, but it was a little inconsistent.
My question is, how did this thing kill like 10 planets in one day if it needed to stop for like 4 hours? After like 20 minutes of wrecking stuff.
That's a good question. Maybe it's one of those things like it needs to be able to focus on just wrecking them.
Maybe? I don't know. Like, that just seemed weird to me.
Yeah, that is weird. And then my last thing is, what was with the dirt flying behind Wild Zhuo King? It was kind of an odd choice. Like, he'd punch and dirt would fly from behind him.
What? Eh?
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird, though. And me, I guess my only thing about the Eagle Zoolander was, how did they know he was a thief? Like, cause, like, he walked by them, and later they referred to him, oh, that thief? At least that's how it seemed. It's like, well, why didn't you stop him?
Well, cause Yamato was lying, like, half dead on the stairs.
Yeah, I guess. It was one of those things, like, y'all seem very angry at him for no reason at all.
Well, I mean, the fact that he was a human, like, meant that he had a champion symbol. They can't
I get that. It was something about that whole interaction just hit me weird. I'm not saying it just hit me weird.
It was a little strange.
Yeah. But I mean, other than that, like, there wasn't a whole lot to say. I mean, you already hit the bit about Narya, because...
Poor Narya. We're just gonna keep track of that, over the course of this show. Or at least I'm going to. I'm going to bring it up every week.
I think it's a good plan.
As well, you should. All right, well, let's move on to Tide Turners and talk about the stuff we enjoyed.
I like this plan.
You know, it's nice to see them breaking out all of those red feathers they had for Ankh. Getting some more use out of those. Sela and Amu asleep on the swing together was way cuter than I was prepared for. Like, I had to pause and take a second. That was way too cute. The really, like, heartfelt conversation between Mario and Yamato was nice. Toei's making real good use of their comedic side characters lately. But Mario finally, like, really felt like a parent figure. And kind of like he knows a little more than he kind of lets on. The transition between the instrumental and lyrical versions of the opening song in the big fight was really, really strong. Like, you hit the end of the transformations, you hit the lyrical version of the song, and the moment just hits so hard, and I loved it. Tusk's whole line of, from now on, we're not here because we're stuck, we're here because we chose to be. There goes every single emotion I have. I'm an absolute sucker for that. I love that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's really good.
Alright, so for me, Gift needing to charge and Genis being a sadist made a good excuse for it not killing the Zhuodrs in the beginning of the episode. So, I mean, I guess that kind of works. I mean, if you're going to do that, you may as well give a good reason that adds texture and character to somebody. Especially Genis, who sorely needs it. I think Uncle Mario is so sweet with his care and concern for Yamato and the others. Also, his animal pajamas were adorable.
They are. Oh, also, when he goes to Yamato, it's like, okay, well, let's get a drink. I honestly thought, like, are they gonna, they can't pull out alcohol on a kid's show? What?
Yeah, well, look, I'm betting in that warm milk he's probably mixed in some Baileys.
Yeah, I hope so. Yamato
kid deserves it.
Yamato needs it.
Let's see. So, Yamato shirts are so good. I really like the one he was wearing this episode.
Yeah, with the big eagle.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That was really good, yeah.
And, you know, you could probably make claims of, anyway, you could probably complain about it and be justified, but it's really cool and, you know, maybe a different pattern like that. Cubes forming an eagle would be good, something. Anyway, Narya's reactions to Yamato taking on Gift were really good. Like, she was laughing at him and just kind of mocking him, but intrigued. So, made me happy that she was thinking on her own. And then I thought the miniature work on Yamato attacking Gift was really cool. And I guess the compositing had to be really good, too, because it didn't seem like there was a lot of seams or mat lines or anything on it, and I noticed the ground under Gift, and I was like, wow, those are cars and buildings and trees, and they don't look amazing, but they look pretty darn good.
They stepped their game up on the camera work and the fights this episode, I noticed. It was a really gorgeous episode. But to, you know, sort of get beyond that, like, for my own part, I really dug the detail that Flying Kusaka uses his chain sword more frequently as a whip than as a sword, which, you know, because him and Yamato have that connection and they share a weapon, so it'd be silly if both of them used it the same way. So I think that's neat. And like, I was also kind of getting into, like, Mario feeling like he's there for a reason, which is really good because y'all know I've had my complaints. Gift is a lovely design. Like, I wasn't here around last week to say it, but I really like that robot. That is a really good-looking robot. It's also one of the first ones that felt like it came from this show instead of some other show. And like, look, what Sono said, that bit at the end where they're all like, no, we're here on Earth by choice. That was good. They've made their decision. They're not victims of circumstance. I mean, they are, but, you know, they're doing what they can with it, and that's what you gotta do.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to evolutions. What do we see happening in the future of the show?
I don't know. Next episode looks kind of like a breather character development episode, and I figure we'll probably get one or two of them before we kind of fall back into the heavy plot. So, you know, Tusk is gonna be adorable, Amu might also be adorable, that's what it looks like. I don't know about further than that.
I wanna know why, Birdman left Yulin. I want to learn that he was exiled by some wicked powers that be there, or that he sought to walk his own path and live in self-imposed exile to free himself from some essential flaw in the Zoolander culture, and I think we might get an insight into that, because, I mean, they sure brought up doubts about the nature of Zooland in this episode.
Yeah, and I'm here for that. That sounds great. Because, like, if it's not that, I just kind of want to find out that they kicked our Flying Kaixa out of Zooland because they watched Kamen Rider Fives and they're like, no, we just don't trust you. Come on, guys, it was like years ago. No, get out.
No, just go home.
But this is my home. Not anymore. Get going. But, but I like it here. No, you don't. Bye. So, and then, so what is the essential flaw in their culture? They all friggin' love Kamen Rider. What's wrong with that? I look like Kaiksa. Oh. Tough break, bro.
Let's see how quick your reflexes are, folks. Got a couple questions for you here. First one is, so now that we've seen a bit more of Birdman, what do you think of him?
He is slightly grating in the way I predicted, just in, stronger than everyone, walking around big tough guy. But he has this really obvious fondness for Yamato that gives me hope that it won't last too long. He says something to very obviously signify who he is to Yamato, carries him all the way home, and, when he's talking to the others when they're all, when he's like, oh, Yamato gave us this feather because he knew it was you and he needed us to come find you, he's like, oh, he remembers me, and he gets this itty-bitty little smile, and it's so good. And, related to that, how does he know where Yamato lives? I'm curious about that.
I'm pretty sure.
He knew where to take him. I kind of want him to move in and, become best dad friends with Mario. Just, hanging out while Mario does stuff. Me and, man, kids these days. And I was like, yeah, I know. And I'm pretty interested in, what he's all so grumpy about, though. Dealand seemed nice. Maybe not perfect, but nice. What's he got that's so rotten? I want to know about that. I'm interested in him, even if I am not excited by his behavior, except for around Yamato.
Okay, so I really like him, says the person on the show who hasn't seen all of Fives yet. He seems to be a bit of a jerk, but he is noble to some extent. He saved Yamato as a child and saved him again from Gift. So I can't read him as completely selfish. It's strange that he's withholding the Six Champions symbol, though, and not allowing the Zhuman to return. They didn't ask if he'd do that, and he didn't offer, but they attacked him, so that was kind of a missed opportunity on their part. He must have had a reason to take the Six Cube and lock the Link Cube, and that's really compelling to me, and I want to know more. Also, I think I had a smart comment, but it's gone now. Oh well.
Happens to me all the time, dude. and for me, I just see, some... that he's got some leftover in a way that just is clinging to him. He hasn't quite cleared that one yet. Because he seems really reluctant to just have the short conversation with everyone that would clear up his deal. Just like, okay guys, here's the problem with Zhuland. Here's why I'm not going to give you back your champion signal. Y'all should keep away from there. Just sit down, have that cup. But, he's... Again, it's the counter-argument, which is he's not that kind of character, which... That's legit, but... Whatever.
He hasn't been here long enough for us to know whether or not he's that kind of character.
True. So, yeah. But more than that, I also just want some time for him and Larry to bounce off each other. I just want to see how they both look at what's going on. Mostly because I'm fascinated to know what could be so wrong with Zhuland. I mean, is he just tired of squares? I could understand that.
That's fair. That's fair, honestly.
Just like, oh, I'm just tired of cubes. I came here and things were round. It was great.
The grass is greener, right?
Yep.
Okay, so how about that robot upgrade?
Finally, they just stick the other robots on the arms and legs. Finally. I mean, it's not great looking, but it's fine. It's not horrible. And I like the finisher having all the, neon Zhuland cubes rising up. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really nice.
It's pretty sweet. I dislike the use of all 8 cube animals. Why couldn't it have just been the 5 together? I would have preferred them doing that and then using the auxiliaries for weapons or whatever. I don't know if the logistics mean it needed to use more than 5 or what just to, fit together. But that kind of bugs me. It is odd that all the extra fire rings just showed up for a reason, but I'm okay with it overall. There's no explanation as to why all of a sudden now an extra thing is flashing and they're able to combine the 5 together. So anyway, there'll be more and different mech combinations over the rest of the show, so I'm willing to roll with it.
And, like, for me, I was just kind of pumped that the Reds were the arms, because that doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. Like, you know, I mean, look, it's not the greatest Sentai robot. It's certainly been having, like, just two little robots hanging out. So it's a weird thing, but I did not really appreciate, though, the little cube animals, because, like, I get that it's there to give the legs some proportion since the upper body got so much bulk. But it's just, it was too many fiddly bits. Like, as a dude who loves him some combiney robot toys and just, like, it's little fiddly guys.
It's weird because they just kind of stick them on the sides.
On the legs. Yeah,
like, I mean, they don't actually, like, become part of anything. They just kind of snap onto the legs and just kind of hang there.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, if the mole, if its nose sticks out and it does a Sentai drill kick, all right, fine, we'll talk. But, I mean, other than that, like, it's, I just have to plus one that finisher animation, because I definitely like the Tron Minecraft, Tron side of Zooland. You know, it's like, it's Minecraft, it's Tron, it's two great tastes that go great together.
I definitely have to agree with that. Yeah, and like, you know, floating, spinning cubes is always cool too.
Yeah.
I do like that effect.
Again, though, like, I keep hoping at some point they have to fight the human champions with their champion spheres. twist. All right, we're animals, we've turned into people. We've got the faces of suit actors on our chest. Let's do this.
Oh, that has to be a Netmovie thing.
I hope so.
I really want them to bring back Netmovies. I miss Netmovies so much.
It would even be great if, like, they filmed a bunch of dogs, or, like, dogs, cats, whatever, with little cubes next to them, and someone did voiceover for them.
Oh my god!
And you can get the dog to put their paw on the cube, and then, you know, boom, it's activated. Or the sphere, I'm sorry. Oh, that'd be perfect if it was dogs.
God.
Or they just throw them. They're throwing balls around a zoo, and like a panda gets one, a lion gets one, dolphin. Let's see, man, you know, seals. There could be a seal that turns into one of them. It'd be great.
That'd be cool.
I miss Netmovies.
See, I guess they'd be like Ningojer, you know, because Ningen.
Yeah.
Gojer.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't do puns in a language I don't speak, but I try anyway.
Don't feel bad. Some people do it all the time and do far worse.
True.
Have you ever heard of guest subs? I mean, that happens.
I have not, actually.
Oh, apparently some people will just, or used to, I don't think it happens so much anymore, used to just guess at what people were saying in shows, be they anime or
Oh, a friend of mine did the first episode of One Punch Man and just used, like, manga scanlations. And there's a whole scene that just isn't in the manga, so he just put, I don't know what any of this is.
That's pretty funny.
He just did it because subs were taking too long to come out.
Understandable. That's funny, though. Well, we're kind of at the end of our show here.
We are.
We're too fast. We're too efficient. What's going on?
I don't know. We've gotten good at this.
We are. You did not leave the children unsupervised.
Yeah, that's
the thing.
That's always important.
Because look, I mean. You were here, listeners. You weren't here pre-show, but like I was going. We were going off on Gaim for like a half hour. I was just about to launch into another thing about Concrete Revolution, which you should all be watching.
I was talking about Nasu dissing Urobuchi. Good times.
So you know, we got that out beforehand, and you know, we're trying to make this a more pleasant experience for you, the listener.
That's right. And I was talking about selling my figure arts, which if you're interested, no. I'm actually probably gonna not promote my figure art selling for a couple weeks because I think I might have a buyer, so
nice.
For a bunch of them. But
best
keep
luck.
People posted. Yeah, thank you. I actually have to get Battle Hopper ready to go out tomorrow. But anyway, I know, it's too bad. I actually spent like 20 minutes the other day on AmiAmi looking through their used tokusatsu toys, and they have all those World Series Kamen Rider figures, which are tiny and adorable. And by the end of my time, I had like 23 tabs open.
Yeah,
and they're all like
that place so fast.
They're all like $5 to $8. So I was thinking, man, I could do this. And I realized, oh no, if I average this, it'd be like $150. And, I'm not looking to spend that money, you know?
Oh yeah, no, I was on Mandarake a couple weeks ago, and I just found a bunch of doujinshi from this series of doujinshi about an old video game, that I was collecting for a while.
Hmm.
And then I ended up with like 30 tabs open. And I ended up with like, because they were all like $1.
Okay. Well, I mean,
and I'm
that's
like,
reasonable.
I'm going to end up spending $50 on this. And I'm like, that's okay. I can do that. But then I calculated how much shipping would be.
Yep.
And that was like another $50. And I'm like, no.
Never mind.
No, can't do that.
Yeah, not good. Although, if you go to HLJ and you search, sometimes they have really good deals on stuff. And they have, like, weird items, like the Kamen Rider magazine books. I have, like, a bunch of those in my private storage thing,
yeah,
warehouse.
I keep
there.
Going on, like, CD Japan, and I keep going to order them, but they increase the cost of shipping so much.
Really?
Because they're so big.
City. Because it would be really easy for me to get Telebikun if I still lived in the city.
Cool.
I have 3 or 4 of them from the past couple times I've gone up there. Because I don't even really want the stuff in them most of the time. I just want to, like, look at the little comics.
Hmm.
Though I did end up with Type High Speed. And this neat kind of icon thing from when Ghost was, like, first starting.
Okay, my last complaint, and then I think we should probably wrap up. I found out how they're distributing the Ishinomori icon. It's a convention exclusive that they only put out for 2 days.
Oh.
And I went on eBay to see what the secondary market was like. Yeah, you're talking like $80 before shipping.
Watch Mandarake. You might get lucky.
$80, huh? Well, I mean, you saw that Malika that I showed you from AmiAmi's pre-owned section, so like, you know, it's a shot in the dark, but you can always check out that, because like, they have some pretty good stuff there sometimes, and it's like, wow, if only I liked, you know, Trash Fruit or whatever, I could totally get that, but...
Like
you may get lucky with Mandarake, if you keep an eye out there.
I will do, because, I want the Ishinomori icon. That's the one I really want.
That's fair. I wonder if, like, because it's Ishinomori and, you know, his influence is beyond Kamen Rider, that it's just that much more expensive, you know?
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, it's legit. Like, it's hard to get hold of and... Yeah, it's hard to get hold of in the first place, and it's really nice, and it's, you know, Ishinomori, his own dang self.
Right. Huh.
I will keep obsessively refreshing overtime, and I will let you guys know if those subs come out.
Cheers. but I think on that note, we'd best, I think we wrap this up.
Yeah, I think we can call it.
Sounds good.
Alright, so then, for Laser Knees, I'm Aleph.
And I'm Amit.
And I'm Sono.
And we'll see you next time.